Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulil kareem. Amma ba'd. So alhamdulillah, tonight is the 17th of May in the year 2007. And it's the second night that we're going through the exalted life of our beloved mother, Hazrat Salamah radiyallah. So yesterday, I just mentioned the report with regards to the sacred marriage between our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Salamah radiyallah. So, like I mentioned yesterday, one of the things that she feared was her bashfulness. She was, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this might cause your anger. I'm a very shy woman." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he answered this by saying, "I will make a dua to take this away." Those in the early days of her marriage, as mentioned above, Hazrat Salamah radiyallah was an extremely bashful lady. This initially would get in the way with her marital relations with our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to mention a report, in Nasai Al-Isaba volume 4 page 439, Ibn Asakir Qanz al-Umal volume 7 page 117, Ibn Sa'ad in Istabaqat volume 8 page 93, Hayat al-Sahaba volume 2 page 738-9 of the Old English Translation, it has been reported the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would regularly visit Salamah radiyallahu anha and ask about Zainab, the daughter of Salamah radiyallahu anha. So the scholars point something out here, because why did he keep asking sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about his stepdaughter? The reason for this being that Salamah radiyallahu anha, being extremely bashful, would on the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's arrival to her dwelling quickly lift Zainab radiyallahu anha up and start suckling her. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, as mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, was more bashful than a virgin in her tent, would then not say anything to Salamah radiyallahu anha. So this is why he kept asking, "How is Zainab radiyallahu anha?" Hazrat Ammar ibn Yasir radiyallahu anhu. Now, Hazrat Ammar ibn Yasir radiyallahu anhu, he was the foster brother of Salamah radiyallahu anha. They were both suckled by the same woman. Hazrat Ammar ibn Yasir radiyallahu anhu, on hearing of this, he at once came in and he took Zainab radiyallahu anha into his arms, and he said, "She is the obstacle in the way of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." As mentioned, in those days Salamah radiyallahu anha was suckling her. So look how Ammar intervened radiyallahu anha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself shows his extreme haya. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as usual on his arrival, asked about Zainab radiyallahu anha. Hazrat Quraiba bint Umayyah radiyallahu anhu, who stood near her, told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Ammar ibn Yasir radiyallahu anhu had taken her. Thereupon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whispered, "I to Salamah radiyallahu anha, tonight I will finally visit you." Hazrat Salamah radiyallahu anha then smiled and took out her piece of leather, spread it and grounded some barley that were in her bag, and after mixing some fat with it, prepared a sort of kawdu for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then spent the night with his blessed wife radiyallahu anha. In the morning, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, "Your family members are truly honored because of yourself. If you so desire, I may stay with you for 7 consecutive nights. But in that case, I will then stay 7 nights with each of my wives." So now, obviously, this highlights the bashfulness of Hazrat Salamah radiyallahu anha, our beloved mother. But of course, the companions were the first to take away any grievance from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So who better than Ammar ibn Yasir radiyallahu anhu, the foster brother of Salamah radiyallahu anha. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, by this action, is proven that it is not a must to have full intimacy with one's wife on the wedding night. So this is a proof of this, because some people say that this is some say it's wajib, some say it's sunnah mu'akkidah, but the reality of it is, at the most it's a sunnah, but it is not a must, because this hadith explicitly mentions that after a few nights after the marriage had taken place, the Prophet only finally had intimacy with Salama radiallahu anha. And also at the end, in the morning, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you wish, I can spend 7 nights with you now consecutively. But by doing this, I will then spend 7 nights consecutively with my other wives. And he was referring to something here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Imam Malik's Muwatta, number 1075, Hazrat Abu Bakr ibn Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu had related, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Salama radiallahu anha, he said to her in the morning, I shall do nothing to debase you in the eyes of your family. If you like, I shall stay for 7 days with you and then stay 7 days with each of my other consorts. But if you like, I shall stay with you for 3 days, i.e. for that is your right, and stay a day thereafter as usual in turn with each of the others. She radiallahu anha said, stay with me for 3 days, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from these reports and others in the Sharia, if a man has married more than one wife, he is allowed to stay 7 nights consecutively with a virgin so she can get adjusted with marital life, and only 3 days consecutively with a non-virgin. Hence the above blessed statement from our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Salama radiallahu anha. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu had clarified in Imam Malik's Muwatta number 1076, a virgin is entitled to 7 days and a non-virgin to 3 days. So our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told that I will spend 7 nights with you if you wish, but by doing this I must spend equal time with the rest of my wives. Gradually, however, as time passed, Hazrat Salama radiallahu anha's shyness dissipated and she adjusted herself to the blessed new environment. Hazrat Salama radiallahu anha was, however, still worried about her dear children, thinking that now, due to their losing their real father, Abu Salama radiallahu anha, will the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still have time to look after and educate them with all his many other incredible responsibilities. So she was thinking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mission is for the entire world. So that my children, you know, will they have time? However, Hazrat Salama radiallahu anha, being the extremely intelligent woman that she was, put this question directly to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a very tactile way. In Bukhari in his Sahih, Muslim in his Sahih, number 2190, Riyad al-Salihin, number 291, Hazrat Salama radiallahu anha herself had related, I once asked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shall I still get a recompense if I spend on the children, for they cannot be left uncared for, running about here and there. They are, after all, my children. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled and he answered, yes, you will have a reward for whatever you spend on them. So look how beautifully she asked the question. She didn't say, will you look after my children as the real father would. She put it in a way that the Prophet got the message sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All she asked was, if I spend on my children, they will, because they can't be left for uncared, will I get reward? And the Prophet smiled, he goes, yes, as if to say, don't worry, I will look after your children. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Hazrat Salama radiallahu anha's children like his own, and would often be seen teaching them, the following being one such example. This is another wisdom of the marriage. Because if somebody says to you, what does Islam say about stepchildren? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he didn't get married to a widow, and the widow did not have children, we won't have an example. So this is another wisdom why this marriage took place. So for instance, in Bukhari and Muslim in their Sahih, Riyad al-Salihin, number 299, Umar ibn Abu Salama, radiallahu anhu, he relates, when I was a child, under the guardianship of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I used to, due to my tender age, run my hand inside the bowl when eating, like children do. So they were sharing, but his hand was going to the side of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his mother, so on and so forth. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me upon seeing this, Ya Ghulam, O dear youngster, first take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then eat with your right hand and from the food which is in front of you. Umar ibn Abu Salama radiallahu anhu continued, this then became my practice in eating thereafter. So this is known to one and all, but now you can appreciate when the Prophet taught this. Who was this Sahaba? It was Salama's son, radiyallahu anhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, first say Bismillah, or Bismillahi wa ala barakatillah, mentioned in another report in Hakim. And then eat with your right hand, because shaitan eats with his left, and eat from the food which is in front of you. Hazrat Umm Salama radiyallahu anha also had an immense love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The following being a few of just such many examples. So there's so many reports, I just want to mention a few. In Bukhari, in his Sahih, number 4328, in his book of Al-Maghzi, and Muslim in his Sahih, number 6091, in his book on the virtue of the companions. In a long tradition, it has been recorded that an ignorant Bedouin once came and demanded something from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "Rejoice, i.e. at what I will do for you." The Bedouin replied, "You have said to me, rejoice too often." In other words, I want something physical, some financial or some food stuff. Then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to me, i.e. Abu Musa, the narrator of the hadith radiyallahu anhu, and Bilal radiyallahu anhu. And he was angry, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, "The Bedouin has refused the glad tidings, so you both accept them." Bilal radiyallahu anhu answered, and myself, Abu Musa, said radiyallahu anhu, "Gladly, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we of course accept it." Then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for a drinking bowl containing water. He washed his sacred hands and face in it, and then took a mouthful of water and then gave it, saying to us, "Drink some of it and pour some over your faces and chests and be happy at the glad tidings." So Bilal and Abu Musa radiyallahu anhuma, they both took the drinking bowl and did as instructed. But subhanallah, Hazrat Umm Salama radiyallahu anha then called out after hearing what had happened from behind the screen, "Don't forget to keep something for your mother." So they left some of it for her. So this shows a deep love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now the obvious question is, what is the rejoicing? So this is called tabarruk, taking blessings from the remains of the pious. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously whatever touched his blessed self, be it water, and then to share with that water was an incredible blessing. And he said to Bilal and Abu Musa radiyallahu anhum, and they gladly took it. The Bedouin didn't understand. He thought, "What's this water? What's all this? I want some food stuff, I want some wealth." Because you've said rejoice too often, showing his ignorance. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then obviously gave the blessings, but look at how touching it is. Umm Salama radiyallahu anha was overhearing everything. Despite the fight, she was behind the screen. She said, "Don't forget your mother." And of course she also took some of the sacred water. Even after the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat demise, Hazrat Umm Salama radiyallahu anha still kept some of his blessed articles. So for instance, in Bukhari, in his Sahih, in his chapter on clothing, Mishkat volume 2, in the chapter on diseases and treatment, number 47, Hazrat Uthman ibn Abdullah ibn Mawhab radiyallahu relates, "My wife once sent me to Umm Salama radiyallahu anha with a cup of water. When the evil eye or something else afflicted a man or woman, they used to send a cup to her." So this is fascinating. Before moving on with the hadith, when they were affected by the evil eye or something of similar nature, they would take a bowl of water to Umm Salama radiyallahu. There's a weak report in Ibn Jarir. It goes, with every evil eye there's a shaitan. So it seems to indicate, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that the evil eye is triggered by the shaitan. On arrival, Hazrat Umm Salama radiyallahu anha took out some blessed hairs of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he used to keep in a silver bottle. She radiyallahu anha then mixed them for him with the water, and he drank from it. I peeped into the cup and I saw some red hairs. So this is something amazing about the Prophet's hair sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Red. Some say it was dark brown, some say it's black. So even his hair is unique sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But his hair was used for shafa, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is not something that some ignorant people say is excessive love, which could lead to shirk. If that was the case, then why would Imam Bukhari relate this hadith in his Sahih from the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And why would the Tabi'in and Sahaba go to the mother of the believers? Why didn't she tell them off? And why was she keeping the hairs? So obviously it was for blessings. Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi clarified in Fath al-Bari, volume 10, page 353, they used to call the silver bottle in which the hair of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was kept, Jiljalan, Jiljalan. And that bottle was in the home of Hazrat Salama radiallahu anha. So again, another thing which is very important to point out, those who denied the barak, i.e. deriving blessings from something owned or touched by a saintly person, are actually denying the Quran. Because there's one report of the barak in the Quran, which is clear. And that is the Holy Prophet Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, through the shirt of his son, the Holy Prophet Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he was cured. So where is the proof? In Surah Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Surah 12, verse 93 onwards, the Almighty and Glorious Subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, go with this shirt of mine and cast it over the face of my father. He will then come to see clearly. Aye, because he'd become blind. When the caravan left, i.e. Egypt, and reached home, their father said, I do indeed scent the presence of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Then when the bearer of glad tidings came, he laid it on his face and he became a seer once more. So there was two miracles here. The first miracle was the shirt. There's a hadith that mentions the shirt was from paradise, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And if you read the Ahsan al-Qasas, the most beautiful narration mentioned by the Lord of the Worlds himself, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, the shirt is mentioned all the way through it. First, when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was supposed to have been killed, what did this brother say? Because here is his shirt. So the shirt is mentioned at the beginning. And Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, the narration mentions he knew there was lying. Because the shirt was, and there was something about the shirt, the blood, there was blood in it, but it wasn't torn. Or something of that nature. So he deduced that they were lying. Then later on, when Zulaykha, who later became his wife according to a report, radiallahu anha, tried to seduce him, she ripped his shirt. Mentioned in Surah Yusuf again, alayhi salatu wasalam, from the back. And then Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, he goes, take my shirt. So the shirt is mentioned frequently in this. Now whether it's the same shirt or not, Allah wa alim, but there's great significance there. And a report explicitly mentions that this shirt was from paradise. And it's also interesting that the kuffar, they mentioned the multicolored dream coat of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. They're actually going to play about this. So this might be true. You know, why they, you know, what's all this about a multicolored, you know, coat or shirt they keep referring to? But the Quran mentions this. So there is an example of tabarruk, and the miracle was twofold. Because Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam said, I can smell the presence of Yusuf. This was 40 years after the event. So again, this shows the miracles of the prophets and how highly tuned they are to the unseen world. In the blessed hadith, there are numerous examples of tabarruk. For example, in Ahmad in his Musnad 4-42, Sahih, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Abd Rabih radiallahu reports, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he once clipped his nails and distributed them amongst the people. For mere mortals like ourselves, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed in Ibn Sa'ad and Istabakat, bury your nails. And the reason the scholars give, Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi states, because witchcraft can be performed upon nails. It belongs to you. And yeah, with our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he cut his sacred nails, they were distributed to everybody. So what were they doing with these nails? So again, it's to do with the barak and blessings. Hence, those who deny the barak should seriously contemplate on the above and many other sacred texts. There's another report in Sahih al-Bukhari, where one of the female companions, Haram, radiallahu anha, the Prophet would spend time in her dwelling. She was like his aunt. And once he was sleeping, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is in Sahih al-Bukhari, and she started accumulating his sweat and put it into a container. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because his eyes sleep but his heart doesn't, when he woke, he said, what are you doing? And she said, O Messenger of Allah, I've smelled the entire range of perfumes and I've never smelled anything more beautiful than your sweat. And I'm collecting it for blessings. And the Prophet allowed it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right, so again, there's so many reports, but it's very, very strange that some people, as if they're totally oblivious to this, they consider this to be shirk and kufr and bidda and so many other things, a'udhu billah. In continuation, Hazrat Salama radiallahu anhu would also often see the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after his saddimis in her dreams. The following being one such touching example. In Tirmidhi is Gharib, Bayhaqi, Hakim, Mishkat, volume 4 in his chapter on Ahlul Bayt, the prophetic household, number 32. Salama radiallahu anhu reports, I once went to Hazrat Salama radiallahu anhu and I found her weeping. I asked, why do you weep? She replied, I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my dream, and upon his head and beard there was dust. I asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the matter with you? Why are you in this state and looking so sad? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said with tears in his eyes, I saw just now the murder of my beloved grandson, Hussein radiallahu. And subhanAllah, later the devastating news of the tragic martyrdom of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu reached Al-Madinah. So Salama had this vision. And she goes, why are you so grieved, O Messenger of Allah? Because I saw the murder of Hussein. And it's a very touching scene, very tragic scene at Karbala where he was martyred radiallahu. And Hazrat Salama was so angry over this that she cursed the people of Iraq. So just to mention the report, this narration is in Hafiz al-Haytami in Majma' al-Zawaid. He states, this is related by Tabarani and is a trustworthy report, 9-194. So the narration mentions, Shahr ibn Hawshab rahmatullah alayhi had said, I heard Salama radiallahu anha at the time of the announcement of Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhu as martyrdom, curse the people of Iraq. She said, they have killed him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kill them. They have deceived him and let him fall. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse them. The reason was, I'll just mention it very briefly. The people of Kufa in Iraq, they had wrote to Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhu proclaiming their allegiance, loyalty and obedience to him. So he traveled to them. But before him arrived Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, the governor of Yazid in Iraq, the people deceived, abandoned and betrayed Al-Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, and fighting continued between him and Ziyad, and thus he was killed as a martyr. And Salama, when she heard this, she cursed the people of Iraq. And that's why Iraq is a place of turmoil, because if curses of the prophets and the Sahaba have reached a place, you can imagine, even now to this very day, who knows, it could be the effects of this curse. And also what's fascinating is the Prophet did not pray for Iraq, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a hadith, I mentioned this inshallah in a few nights. It's an authentic hadith, I believe it's in Tabarani. He prayed for Yemen, he prayed for Syria. And a man asked, what about Iraq, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He ignored him. He goes, Syria, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bless Syria, bless Yemen. What about Iraq? And then finally the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he mentions something bad about Iraq. He goes, this is where the fitna will arrive. And also it's Najd. The east of the Hijaz is Najd. And Iraq is in the east, as mentioned by Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayh. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the horns of shaitan rise from Najd. And also in another hadith, authentic hadith, I'll give you the references in a few nights, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 9/10 of evil are found in Najd. Right, so it's not a very particular place to go, good place to go. However, it's not overwhelming the curse. There are good and honorable exceptions to this. But that's why the ulama mentioned the fitna of Najd. And I'll mention this inshallah in a few nights. And also, just to mention, this is also worth mentioning. Hazrat Salama loved the Ahlul Bayt too much. And there's a report mentioned that when people started cursing Ali radiallahu anhu, the people out of ignorance, the Umayyads, she reacted most violently. This narration is in Ahmad 6-323. Hafiz Haytami states, Hassan, volume 9, page 130, in his Majma' al-Zawaid. Hakim in his Mustadrak 3-121, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih, and Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 572 of the New English Translation. Hazrat Abu Abdullah Jadali radiallahu reports, rahmatullah alayhi, sorry, reports, I once went to Salama radiallahu anha, and she asked, do people amongst you revile the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah forbid, I exclaimed. I may also have made statements like Subhanallah or something similar. He couldn't remember the exact words he uttered. Hazrat Salama radiallahu anhu then said, I have heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, whoever reviles Ali radiallahu anhu has reviled me. So what Salama was saying radiallahu anhu, first look how beautifully she put it, are people cursing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And the man was shouting, he goes, A'udhu billah, what are you saying, Umar? And he goes, whoever curses Ali, I heard the Prophet say this sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in another report, in Tabarani, in all three collections, in his Saghir, Kabir and Awsat, and Abu Ya'la, Hafiz Haytami states, is Hassan, Ibn Abi Shaybah reports similar, Kanzul Umal, volume 5, page 46, and Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 572, of the New English Translation. Hazrat Abu Abdullah Jadri, rahmatullah alayhi, reports that Hazrat Salama, radiallahu anhu, once asked him, do people amongst you revile the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How can the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be reviled, I asked. She replied, is Ali radiallahu anhu and those he loves not reviled, where is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him? So now this shows her bravery as well, because the Umayyads had a policy, the Quraqmans amongst them, that they had to abuse and belittle Sayyidina Ali and the Hashimites for political reasons. And she lived through that period, and she was a beloved mother of the believers, and she couldn't tolerate this. And despite that, nothing, no harm came to her whatsoever. But so these three reports I've mentioned shows how much love she had for the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In continuation, just to mention this, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mighty and glorious, he gave an incredible honor to this most noble and blessed woman, which is shared by very few. In Bukhari and Muslim in their Sahih, Hazrat Abu Uthman radiallahu anhu reports, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam once came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst Salama radiallahu anhu was with him. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam started talking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst Salama was looking radiallahu anhu. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked Salama radiallahu anhu, when Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam had left, oh my beloved wife, do you know who that was? She replied, it's Dihya. Now Dihya al-Qalbi radiallahu anhu was an extremely handsome and beautiful companion, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam would come in his form. So this shows, and he was sent as an ambassador to, as with a letter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Jibreel alayhi salam came in his form, she goes, it's Dihya radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Salama radiallahu anhu then went on and said, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I did not take him for anybody else until I heard the sermon of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he informed me that Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam had recently come to him. So like I've mentioned many times, when Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam comes in human form, he doesn't just feel like coming in human form. It's a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically, simply put, the Lord of the world subhanahu wa ta'ala told Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, make sure she sees you to honor her. And he came in the form of Dihya, and this same thing happened to Aisha radiallahu anha. In Imam Ahmad's Musnad, she saw the Prophet speaking to Dihya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then she asked, what did Dihya want, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And she goes, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did you see him? And she goes, yes. And then she goes, he was told, this is Jibreel alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So such was the rank of our blessed mother, Hazrat Salama radiallahu anha. If that was not all, the Almighty and Glorious blessed her with verses of the Quran to honor her. This is even more of an incredible honor. Now this report is combined. The revelation of the first verse in Surah Nisa is in response to Salama radiallahu anha's question, is in Tirmidhi and others. The second verse in Surah Ahzab is narrated in Nisa'i, Ahmad ibn Jirir and others. And the revelation of the third verse is in Hakim. So that's the combined reference. It has been reported, Hazrat Salama radiallahu anhu once asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I see that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always mentions men in his glorious book, but he doesn't mention women. Allahu Akbar. Immediately revelation descended upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the first verse. Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 32. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Do not wish for that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made some of you excel over others. For men there is a reward for what they have earned, and for women there is a reward for what they have earned. A second verse was revealed, Surah Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 35. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Innal muslimina wal muslimat wal mu'min, innal mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat. And then it continues, verily the believing men and women, and the Muslim men and women, and the obedient men and women, and the truthful men and women, and the patient men and women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for them forgiveness and a great reward. And a third verse was revealed in Surah Imran, Surah 3, verse 195. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Never will I allow to be lost the work of any of you, be he male or female. You are all members of one another. Allahu Akbar. One should us to think of the immense rank and stature of our blessed mother, Hazrat Salama radiallahu anha, that due to just one of her inquiries, not one, not two, but three sacred verses of the Quran were revealed. Allahu Akbar. And this